Well, today is the second week of our early summer series entitled, I Am, in his own words. Over the centuries, the name attached to the name Jesus Christ have been a number of titles. Christ, Jesus, he's the greatest wisdom sage, the greatest teacher that the world has ever seen. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is my Savior. And so it goes. The universe itself isn't wide enough for all the titles that can be ascribed to Jesus. But it's in the fourth gospel, John's gospel, that in a series of seven statements, I am statements, Jesus self-reveals. He tells us who he sees himself to be. And not only does this help us understand who the living Jesus is for us at this moment, these I am statements, they tell us how Jesus relates to us in our everyday life. Last week, our first of the series, I am the bread of life. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts prove to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and salvation. Amen. Last week, we considered I am the bread of life. And today, we consider this powerful I am statement of Jesus. I am the light of the world. And each time in John's gospel, when Jesus self-reveals in this way, after he says it, or along with saying it, he backs it up with a miraculous deed, a deed that changes people who hear him declare, I am the light of the world. The first time we hear Jesus reveal himself with this image is actually in the chapter before the chapter we read today, chapter 8. This time, Jesus reveals himself in as the light of the world in the midst of a very familiar story. There's a lone, vulnerable woman, and she is surrounded by a group of angry men, religious men, and they are clenching stones. This woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Well, the woman's sin, her shame has been laid bare, but there will be no mercy, no forgiveness, no restoration for her. These righteous, religious, and angry men are about to do the unthinkable in the name of God. They're about to stone this woman to death. And when they ask Jesus, for his opinion, for his judgment, what should be done with this woman who has just been caught in the act of adultery? We find Jesus sitting in the dirt, Jesus playing in the dirt. John tells us that he's scribbling in the dust. This is the only time in the Gospels that we ever encounter Jesus writing anything. So they ask him, what should be done with this woman? And Jesus renders his judgment, God's judgment, not only for that woman, but for others who have found themselves in similar circumstances. Jesus says to the group of angry men, let the one without sin, let him cast the first stone. And he went back to his scribbling in the dirt. And then Jesus stands and he announces, I am the light of the world. Up to this moment, the righteous religious men, they could only see by the glaring lights of interrogation on that bruised, broken daughter of God. But when Jesus shows up, when Jesus is present, when he announces who he is, his light is all-encompassing. It's everything is now in view. Just like my basement, the top of the stairs, I have one switch that turns on all the lights throughout the basement in every space and every crevice. One switch turns on all the lights. And that was the experience of these men. No longer were they gazing at the woman by interrogation light. Now they were looking into their own secret hearts. They were coming to grips with their own baggage by the light of the world. But kudos to these once angry, righteous religious men who dare take that inward journey to look at one's own secret heart. One by one, they drop their stones of judgment. And more than that, these men drop their facade of moral superiority. They drop their hypocrisy. And they are, for the first time, by that light of Jesus, first time in their life, they're able to see that she is just like us. We are the same. Jesus is the light of the world. His light is liberating. It shows us the blessed pathway out of a religion of judgmentalism and condemnation. On this new path that Jesus lights for us, there's no need for us to carry stones anymore. Stones in our hands, stones in our pockets, stones in our purses. This light of Jesus, the light of the world, leads us to live a lighter life in relationship to ourselves and relationship to one another. Jesus says, brothers and sisters, I am the light of the world. And now we come to the story we just heard, where Jesus now repeats a second time, I am the light of the world. And again, he backs it with transformative action. He and his disciples are walking down the road, and they see a beggar by the side of the road sitting on a piece of cardboard with a styrofoam cup with some change. And John tells us something else about this poor beggar. He's blind, which practically means, in the religious caste system of Jesus' day, that he is an untouchable. He is a religious outcast because of his blindness. The disciples, we don't know the chronology here. The first time Jesus announced that he was the light of the world with the woman and the group of angry men, and now this instance with the blind beggar, we don't know if there was an hour between those two moments of self-revelation, or days or weeks. But what we know is that unlike those angry religious men who were able to see and become compassionate spirits, the disciples, they were still carrying stones. Matter of fact, these, the closest followers of Jesus, they're pushing wheelbarrows full of stones. They see a blind man, and what is the disciples' reaction to the blind beggar? What is the church's response to this man on the side of the road? Do the disciples reach into their pocket for some spare change? No. Do they reach out for a conversation with that man to hear his story? No. Do they reach out simply to touch this one who is untouchable? No. They cast their stones. They don't even talk to him. They turn to Jesus and say, Rabbi, how did this man end up blind anyway? Did he sin? Or did his parents sin? You have to wonder how often that poor man heard that question spoken in his very presence. Was he guilty, or was his parents? Was it his parents who sinned against God? For the beggar, the disciples' question was not a new one. It was the tormented question that he asked himself each and every day of his very hard life. God, was it my parents who sinned? Is that why I was born blind? Or did you know that sometime in my life that I would sin to such a degree that you chose never to give me sight, you, O God of Israel? What might have I done? Whatever it was, the beggar had come to a conclusion. I deserve this. I deserve this status as a blind, poor, unclean outcast. Just as at times we find affinity with the religious men ready to cast stones at someone else, there are many times in our life that we feel affinity with this blind beggar and his question. We know what shame feels like. We know the cold darkness of shame. Sometimes it's so deep, it's so dark, it's so overwhelming. The mistake we made, we allow it to grow to the point that we begin seeing our very selves as a mistake. Ever allow a mistake? Something you did, something you said, something you thought in your secret heart? Ever allow a mistake to make you feel like you yourself are a mistake? Remember, brothers and sisters, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus says it again, maybe for the whole crowd, or maybe this time he simply whispers it into the ear of the blind beggar, I am the light of the world. And then Jesus falls to his knees again, and he begins playing again in the dirt. This time with fingernails, he begins gathering up dust, and he places it in his hands, and he spits into his hands. And then he takes that moist earth, and he places it on the eyes of the blind beggar, and then he instructs him to go and wash. The man's eyes are miraculously opened. And the very first thing this man lays his new eyes upon is his own face. His beautiful face. The face that Almighty God, God's self, cannot take God's eyes off, that face. The man was blind, but now he sees. He finally sees himself as God sees him. Not as an outcast, not as the object of lifetime judgment, but instead he sees himself for the very first time in his life as a precious child of our Father. A child who is worthy, dignified, gifted, utterly beautiful, created in the very image of our Father in God. Jesus is the light of the world. When you are rendered blind by shame or fear or insecurity or a deep sense of inadequacy, the light of the world finds you. It opens your eyes so that you can truly see who you are. Jesus enables you to see who you truly are. You are the one that God, God's self, can't take his eyes off of. And this God has been lovingly pursuing you since your morning cry. The story of Jesus speaking and acting to show the blind man his true self reminds me of a scene in the movie War Horse. I don't know if you've seen that movie. In this story, an English boy by the name of Albert raises a colt, a horse as a colt. The horse's name is Joey. Joey and Albert, they are inseparable. And the horse, Joey, would come running whenever Albert would whistle in a unique way. Well, with the start of World War I, Albert's father sells Joey to the British cavalry, and this utterly breaks Albert's heart. The two, the boy and horse, they're inseparable. The horse is sent to France. Albert is sent to France later, but he never ceases his quest to find his beloved Joey during those days of conflict. At the end of the movie, one night, the decision is made to put down this broken and battered horse, Joey. This horse, to those around it, had no redeemable value. Let's take a look. Jesus is the light of the world. When you find yourself in deep darkness, the darkness of depression, the darkness of anxiety, the hellish darkness called shame, when the mistake brings you to the point you believe that you may be the mistake, Jesus is the light of the world. Listen for his sweet voice call to you, maybe even whistle for you. Let him touch your eyes. Let him wash your eyes. Let him wash you and expect to see who you truly are, the one that God cannot take his eyes off. You, beautiful, graced, loved, gifted, restored, pursued your entire life by love, destined for a future with hope. See what God can't take his eyes off of you, a precious child of God who has been designed to eternally share relationship with the one who is the light. See yourself as a child, a precious child of God who's called to share relationship with other children of light as well. Jesus is the light of the world. And by his light, by his good and holy light, we finally see. Thanks be to God.